Blog Talk Radio.
Shout Even Shy, and they did an amazing job on that. And when I remembered that it is the last Monday show of the year 2021, I couldn't go pick another song. I had to do the last show with Hatter's Poem. And of course, we will continue to do so throughout 2022. Oh my. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a poetry group, radio group, chat group, family group over at allpoetry.com. And it's free to join. Or, if you're already a member, you can find us listed under the tab for groups, A Team of Voices. And if you come knocking, I'll meet you at the door. If you're in earshot and you'd like to participate, the number to call in is 1-646-668-2837. That's 1-646-668-2837. And we would love to hear from you. Now, tonight, we are doing the big assignment show that I've been waiting for. Excuse me. I gave each poet a list of lyrics to choose from to inspire them. There was a word bank that they had to use a handful of words from, and they were asked to bring some of their own colors and throw them in as well, and then use all those pieces and match them up with a photo that I put near their name. So there should be an amazing variety from incredible poets, because there always is. And before I open up the lines, I also wanted to say that in 2022, the first Monday show will be about the potions that had to be postponed earlier this year. So we're going to kick off the year and see what kind of potions that poets create. So without further ado, let me open up these lines, because I have from here and from a poetic slice of life radio, I have the dynamic duo team of Stephen 76 and Kay. Hey guys, welcome to the last Monday of the year.
Hello. I know. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you believe it? It just flies. And we are just 3 little months away from our 3rd anniversary. It's like time really does fly. You should pay attention. And hi, Kay. Glad you guys are here. And right behind you is Mr. David. Hello, David. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hey, thanks. Thank you.
Our story point. You're on the last Monday of the year.
Yes, ma'am. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, I heard you say that about the 2022, and I thought, wow, where did 2021 go to, you know?
And there's something about 2022, it sounds like a Buck Rogers episode or something, like, or we're just, something's not right about 2022, but glad we're here. And right behind them is Mr. Wayne Gent, that charming gentleman from down south. Hey, Wayne,
right,
welcome to the show. Happy you're here.
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey.
Yeah. Hey, Deb.
Yes.
Deborah.
Yes.
Could you tell everybody on the show to speak up when they talk to me tonight? Because I've got this problem with my phone, and I can hear better, but it's not as good as it used to be, so I don't know what's going on, but I don't want to ignore anybody because I can't hear them.
Okay, yeah. We are going to, like, if you don't answer, I will make sure that I say something, because you seem to hear mine pretty clearly. We will start there. And I am thinking that, like, there's 20-something poems and a couple more that are finishing their rites. So I think I'm going to have to stick to the plan. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a reader, and then they're my prompts, so I will, of course, comment on every poem. And then whoever's in line to read next will comment on the poem before them. And I am going to do my best to get every single poem on the show tonight and not have to carry over, and that's the best way for me to accomplish that. Because, I want to hear them all. I've been waiting for this show. And there's, 7 recordings, 5 that need readers, and then all the amazing people that call. So without further ado, especially since the dynamic duo have been on the radio all night already, excuse me, I'm going to run over, and I'm going to get Kay's poem, and she will kick us off on the last Monday of 2021. Kay, when you see your poem, take us away, please.
Okay. I call us caressing damp cuttings, edged, embroidered, and places of being. It's upon the crest of a dispassionate gray, cinereal and salt and pepper, frost-covered and ill. Primeval, rooted in the past, somber as its ash, bluster and pelts upon stone. Sunlight abounded, aggrieved in conscience, stricken lachrymose. The gold, grace, and aura, linen and stacks of red green, smoke, wildfires of bones boxed in the furnace. A coal stove unlit in rapid oxidation of kindling brush fires. Her feet scorch land, steam veneers, woodlot undergrowth, bosquets, the copsewood, beyond the black stump and no man's land brambles, as no blemished tongues shall speak. End poem.
I love the title, Caressing Damp Cuttings, Edged, Embroidered in Places of Being. Very, very interesting title there. Primeval, rooted in the past, somber, is its ash blustering pelts upon stone. There's a vivid gloom and doom feel in those blistering pelts upon the stone there. And you described them like so vivid that if you didn't do anything else, I could feel the turmoil from the photo in your first stanza. And then stuff like wildfires, the bones boxed in the furnace. And something about that, you just want to shake from the thought of the burning, the blisters, the depth of just that coal stove. I mean, it's just kindling brush fires. The images totally pull all the color and all the fire and all the rage and all the ultimate destruction that's about to be there. And then I was really taken by the ending there, as no blemished tongues shall speak. Well, damn, it's like you heard of washing your mouth out with soap. I was picturing sizzling tongues with people like freaking out, and I'm like, whoa. So you have so much in here. Oh, that dumpster. I'm sorry. They come 2 hours earlier than they used to. I apologize. But then you think about, okay, her, go back a gum, back a little bit, because I was taken by those blemished tongues. Her feet scorching land, stinging veneers. I mean, so many things. And yet the woman in the image is gorgeous. So it's like there's the contrast there. Really incredible. Powerful images all the way. Brilliant job, Kay. And before I get the comment, let me say hello to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hello everyone.
Glad you're
here.
I can, yes.
It's a
can you hear me?
Always. Yes, I can hear you. Hello, everyone.
And where'd that go? Right behind Frank is Jay. Hey, Jay, welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm surprised.
Hello,
I didn't expect you were going to be here. Are you on a break?
I don't work all week. Our factory shut down for the year.
Oh, wow. Well, little mini vacation and a treat for us. I don't know if you heard at the beginning, I have like 20-some poems on the board, so what I'm doing is I'm commenting on all of them because they wrote for me, and then I'm having the next reader comment on the poem before they read. So I was just about to get Stephen to comment on Kay's poem before he reads his. And before he does that, anyone in the line on a time crunch, so I know where to put those.
Yeah. Well, hold on, he's talking about. Hold on. We'll be on the line somewhere.
Wayne.
Hey, what's up there? You're coming
aboard. Long time no hear, brother.
Yeah, I've been hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it okay.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Well, I'm sorry about you. Go ahead and talk.
No, it's cool. I love when that happens. Seriously. Okay, Stephen, will you please comment for your wife while I get your poem?
Yeah, I like this a lot. The first time I read it, I thought that there was a an extreme live for today feeling throughout the piece.
Yeah.
But like Deb said, that last line is awesome. No blemished tongues shall speak. To me, that's a very powerful and poetic way to say, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I thought this was a powerful piece.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As I like to say, before you speak to me, make sure your conscience is clear.
Yeah.
You hear that, people? Okay, now, Stephen, do you want to push the next show before you read or after you read?
No, I can do it real quick now. Let's see, our next show and the Poetic Slice of Life is Wednesday. It's the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern. A Canadian artist that Kay stumbled across, her name is Shauna Urbach. I guess she's also a concept artist for DreamWorks Animation. But Kay found a bunch of paintings from her to write to, and they're really cool paintings. You've got to check them out in the topic folder to try to describe them. Just wouldn't do it justice. So, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed writing to mine. All right, well, take us away, please. I can't wait to see what you did with the hoodie cat.
Okay, well, I got goofy with this because there's a morning ritual that we do every morning when we're done eating our breakfast. We leave a little egg on the plate, and we throw the paper plate down on the floor. And one of the cats will go after it, and then the other cat will box them away and say, get the hell away from it, it's mine. So I call this Whiskered Tangerine Boxer Bouts for Buds. Saucered purple paper plates spent the floor, a moist scramble of curds, yellow yolks, and white jumps. As touchdown abruptly ends flight, a paw pulling flower Dixie across hardwood pulls bell string for round one. Ivory curved barbed razor nails outstretched, arching for back of hairy head, flashing speed delivery, orange furred skin clawed, snagged, hooked, and hissed. The robber gulps prize of leftover breakfast ova. Until Robbie and home.
Oh, wow. Saucered purple paper plate spins the floor. A moist scramble, curds, yellow yolks, and white jump. I'm grinning because of picturing you guys having your breakfast and that extra scrambled egg. As touchdown abruptly ends flight. Uh-oh. ivory curved barbed razor nail outstretched. Wow. Barking for back to the hairy head slash delivery. Is that just happening on my phone or do you guys hear that?
Little crackle.
Yeah.
It was sort of like repeating me or something. Okay, I'm sorry. But like those images right there, those ivory curved, barbed razor nails, you know, sometimes I believe that because like those little sweet balls of fur get you with one of them nails and it's like they got this hook and they got you and you're like, I get out of my skin. So that barbed razor really, really, really got me there. And the robber gulps the prize of leftover breakfast until Robbie. So this is hysterical. And I love the thought of him boxing for them eggs and the cuteness that you brought and the big-eyed kitty under the hooded thing there. And Whiskered Tangerine Boxer Bouts for Buds. Very cool. Very cool, Beverly, Stephen. And I'm looking there at number 259. So number 26. Do you know, it feels like 5 minutes ago I was wondering when you were going to, you know, what poem would be number 200. You remember that? Now you're belting out like second nature. Here you go, Stephen. Fantastic share. And let me see here. The next reader is going to be David. So, David, will you comment on Stephen, please?
Yeah, I thought this was great. I don't know. I always thought that I was the only one that fooled around with my animals like this. But this really appealed to me. And, I just think that's great. When I was a kid, we used to, anything that we didn't want to really eat, we always had to clean up our plate. That was a mantra around our house. And anything that my sister and I didn't want to eat, like green beans and asparagus and stuff like that, we just shoved it underneath the table and the dogs got it. but anyway, I thought this was a great poem. It was funny. It was really funny. And it was just what we need nowadays, you know. Well done, Stephen.
Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, David. And guys, I know that, as I said earlier, you've been on the phone doing radio all night, so if you have to go, I understand, and I appreciate you calling. And if not before, I'll see you Wednesday at A Poetic Slice.
All right.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
In the meantime, Mr. David, please read.
Okay. Well, this one's called The Soreness of Deeds, and this one tasked me a little bit. I liked this woman. I liked her platinum hair and her purple, countenance and that sort of stuff. I liked the swords and that platinum colored, cape behind her. So, that's kind of dictated where I went with this. And it sounds like this: inscribed on the walls in pyramid text, I came across a cartouche within a marked undiscovered chamber, pockmarked in antiquity, strange hieroglyphs, in no kingdom did its syntax exist. It appeared as a mix of Demotic and Middle Kingdom languages. I could not pronounce any of it, except for the sculptured cartouche ornamented to us in our native tongues, a strange name it did have, an unheard of deity heretofore unknown to any that seek knowledge of ancient Egypt. Our unswerving love of this ancient people, fathomless desire to fetch the life and times from a dead and dehydrated sea of glazed quartzite, sand peppered in crystal specks of diamond-veined obsidian, breakers of sand windblown upon a lost sea, once a metropolis, now in dust this sacred place. Purple litten mists swirled up before us all. The dark mother appeared, saying, "Ye shall not open this place, nor speak of its contents, or name it, for it is nameless. I shall smite thee to dust upon its mention." She sees you're closing the door, leaving the world behind. The dark mother spoke to me alone, saying, "David, my man, this is the gateway to the hall of judgments within the everlasting, the overseer of deeds. Ye shall meet her." I found myself in silky purple litten clouds. She was materializing, saying, "David William, long have I awaited new souls such as yours. I love your beliefs and our dark mother, for I am the Alpha and the Omega of all deeds. I am the swordess wielding swords of Xanthrop and the good and Zora Traumaton. I can't even pronounce my own names, the bad. Forged from the hearts of neutron stars, damascened with dark energy, iridium guards and pommels glisten in a lavender gloom. Her platinum mane scalloped back to her glowing purple countenance, trailing a web of the purest platinum from within. Her shielded red hydrogen alpha eyes telling of her kindrance to the dark mother. I am forever. I am with thee, David William, forevermore. I shall meet thee with the dark mother at your life's end. We fell down upon our knees as the jeweled vision receded. End poem.
I'm talking to the mute button, aren't I? You can't.
The button, Deb, the button.
I know, right? It just seemed like, wait a minute, it seemed a little too quiet. I didn't even hear anybody breathing. But I when I saw this, there was something about it. It was like, I could almost see the Dark Mother there, but with maybe with a shiny wig or maybe in the future. So I couldn't wait to see where you went. And I liked where I just saw the sorceress, where the Swordess of Deeds. So great title. I could not pronounce any of it except for the sculptured cartouche ornamented
cartouche.
To us and our native
cartouche.
Tongues. Cartouche, okay, a strange name it did have. And wait a minute. Breakers of sand windblown upon the lost sea, once a metropolis, now in dust, the sacred place, purple-lit mist swirled up before us all. I like that you added in the phrase, the sacred place, to pay tribute to the sand there, if you get what I mean. And then here she comes, the Dark Mother appeared. And, hey, she has purple mist. When did that happen?
What? Purple mist?
Purple mist. Purple mist appeared, and then Dark Mother appeared, saying, ye shall not open this place nor speak of its contents or name it, for it's nameless. I shall smite thee to dust upon its mention. She's not in a very good mood, but I still want to know when she started arriving in purple mist. And does that purple mist smell like the gunpowder and cotton
candy? She's always been there. Yeah. Yeah. She always shows up like that. She's always in this purple swirling mist, you know, and then you can smell gunpowder and cotton candy. Sometimes before she gets there, and then sometimes afterwards.
Aha. I see. Well, as usual, you brought us an amazing story, and the details are epic, and I'm kind of jealous of Dark Mother's purple mist. I want my own purple mist, just saying. And before I get you another comment, I have a couple callers. Mr. AP from Oz is on the line. Hey, AP, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. I'm good.
Good. And I have area code 209. Hello, caller. Who's on the line?
Kimberly.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, Kim.
I am glad you're here. We have a totally packed room, so I'm just real quick telling everyone what we're doing is, since it's my prompt, I am, of course, commenting on every poem, but I am having the next reader comment as well, and then I'm keeping them flowing because I've got more than 20 poems to squeeze in here, and I want everyone to be heard. Now, before I make this commenting decision, I need to know how long Kimberly and AP have.
I have a little while.
Okay, AP?
I've got about half an hour, Dip.
Okay. Then I'm going to have Frank up next, and then I'll put you after him. So, Frank, if you would go ahead and comment for David while I grab your poem, that would be great.
By all means. I really, if there's one thing that I do enjoy about Dave's writing, is that he always brings a storyline. Now, I've heard several of these stories, poems based on this character here, the Dark Mother. And I'm always intrigued. I would say I'm enchanted by the storyline, but I'm also enchanted by the dialogues you bring as well, and as well the mythology. You know, someone like me who enjoys mythology, in particular Egyptian mythology, I really did enjoy the little sprinkles you threw in there of Egyptian mythology there. And I thought the poem overall was just a fantastic poem. You really delighted me here with so much. The metaphors were great. And the details, the storyline, which is perfect, I would say.
Well, thank you, Frank. I appreciate that, man.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend.
awesome comment. So I have your poem on the board, and if everyone will click on that, I can push play because Frank made us a recording. So do you guys see the link?
Mm-hmm.
And AP, if you could put yours directly on the board, that would be great.
I will. Thank you.
And here comes Frank's link.
I am trapped in the piercing grip of cracked ripples of time passing, engulfed in the center of a blistering cyclone, jarring, entwirling rapidly, encompassed by copper particles of the blinding dust in soiled stains. As the serrated edges of the razor spike thorns cut my wrinkled skin. The velvet clouds are covered in scraped ashes of the scorching heat, but the burning sun peels off the layers of the splintered stratosphere seen, and the oxygen I inhale is fading into a poisonous toxin of dripping fumes, where the infection of the plague has spread like a blazing wildfire. A thousand echoes of the centaurian shrieks of the dying souls are heard, but they are swallowed by the powerful black breath of the colossal leviathan. Devouring winds of the tempestuous pressure of an unstoppable force. The horrible madness of a punishing scourge, of a daunting apocalypse. Ravenous demons of alabaster bones bite at the handrails of the staircase, marked with the looming sign of death, scratching with their hooked fingernails, while their pointed teeth grind through the metallic amaranthine steps collapsing, and I scream out loud to the whole world to hear my drowning voice suffocating. Do you hear them? Am I going insane? Is the door closing of the world I leave behind? Forever. No! No! No!
Before I comment, I have to tell you, Frank, the other night on one of the shows, I pushed one of the sound effects buttons, and everybody thought you were there because it sounded like you doing that ending right there, that
oh.
no screechy thing. So I was like,
oh, I wasn't aware.
No, it does sound like
aware.
It was, but that one was just a recording.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My drowning voice, what a hard thought. I mean, drowning, if you've ever breathed your coffee rather than swallowed it, you know that that hurts. So imagine drowning and trying to talk. So would there be a drowning voice? I don't know. But it wouldn't be a pleasant sound, I'm sure. The velvet clouds are covered in scraped ashes of scorching heat as the burning sun peels off the layers of the splintered stratosphere scene. And the oxygen I inhale is fading into a poisonous toxin of dripping fumes, where the infection of the plague has spread like a blazing wildfire. And the current circumstance in our life makes that ending, or that just that stanza, but the ending of that stanza even more horrifying because of the plausibility. So, like, damn, creepy, gritty, gory, sounding good poem, but I keep going back to that same spot where it's just so now that infection, that the poisonous toxin, for lack of a better way to put it, which I think is actually really a perfect way to say it. So, like, this was powerful and a hell of a write for your prompt.
Well, I have to say, first of all, if I can, I appreciate that. If I can say really briefly, your prompt really inspired me for this piece here. I know that the prompt is not on my poem, but it was very much inspiring. And I thought the whole notion there of the apocalypse, what conjured in my mind when I saw that, I would say the prompt that I selected, the prompt that I did not select it, but you gave it to me, and I was very much enthusiastic with that prompt.
Awesome. I try really hard to match my poem to people. The weird thing is when I do them in advance like that, sometimes I feel a different mood from that person by the time we get to the show. So it's a slippery slope. So that's why I started making everybody their own folder. I figure the worst happens is when it's time for them to actually write, they don't feel it, and then I could pull one of the 7,000 other poems that I have photos that I have in my folders. But yeah, I'm always thrilled when the first one I choose speaks to you, especially when, you know, something like this happens. So very much theatrical and brilliant. Great share.
I appreciate
and
that.
And AP's the next That's reader, so I'm going to have him comment for you as well, please.
Such an innocuous quote, and in such a sort of innocuous light song, you're closing the door, you leave the world behind, but you sort of take it up and gather it into an apocalyptic sense, and you can see that in the quote. And the language that you use to do that is very cleverly done. There's a power in having words layered upon each other, which is what you do here. And you create a very dark place, and it's very cleverly done.
Okay.
Thank you, AP. And if everyone clicks on AP's link, he will take us away now.
Thank you, Deb. Well, this replaces my number 5 poem with a new number 5 poem, Deb. So one from one week to the next. This is Echidna, and it goes
cool.
A little bit like this. Noble the tides of gathering rains. There are a few refuges here. Save an open metal bus stop by the road. While a group of clouds billowing high explode, gather still in the waiting aisle left sowed. As an infant, it exclaims while it skies. An explosion is hurrying untethered, each between shades of violet and turquoise. Down the sandy back road, near Fields Place, boys, there is anger as the sky has thrown out the toys. Waiting drives the storm with its strains, spiked yellow and cream marbles etched brightly in pink and deep grey, snout pointing towards the ground stray, a giant echidna above shuffles our way. Bees above crane as leave hives, rustling and burning caked with dust, emboldened by the heat of ochre soil, barbed with ice and moulded from toil, lightning splitters as etched in blue foil. You paid the piper, so it strains. Brief shadows, rain's fingers arise. Wandering dust blasting, so drives. Stumbling few upon a refuge of lives. End poem.
Trying to place the tone in your voice. Some of the wording there, as an infinite exclaims, white, it skies. An explosion is hurrying, untethered, edged between shades of violet and turquoise, down the sandy back road near Phil's Place Boys. Phil's Place Boys, obviously someplace real. There is an anger as the sky has thrown out the toys. Watching drives the storm with its strange, spiked yellow and cream marble etching brightly in pink and deep gray. I love how you dove into all the colors and brought them out in bold, brilliant, vivid lines. I love the spiked yellow and creamed marble etched brightly. Rustling and burning, caked with dust. You can picture each line as you pull us through and that dry orange. I know that we have that orange dirt, but I figured that would scream to you of homeland, because I know that a lot of the area there is the orange. And the thought of the desperation for that rain. And then you pull in the quote beautifully, I guess every form of refuge has its price. And yeah, because like if you look at that picture at first glance, it's like, look at all those bold, beautiful images that are bursting from the sky. And then you think it's probably, it's another one of those examples of deadly beauty, because there could be such a storm raging behind all those colors and scorching and the rustling and burning caked with dust. So, like, you went every bit as bold and vivid with your wording as the photo did with its color, and I think that you went really powerful with this. I'm always blown away. Great, great, great share. I'm trying to think who my next... Wayne, you're the next reader. Will you comment for AP? But one second. AP, is there any chance that you can... Did you say you had about a half hour? Because after Wayne, I was hoping... Okay, because I was hoping that you could read for Alf before you leave after Wayne.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Awesome. Okay.
I have to go now, Deb. I just wanted to say before that. Thanks for having me on the show. Always a pleasure. Always fun. Everyone, take care. Take care, my friend.
Take care, Frank.
Thanks and for calling, Frank.
And definitely, definitely. Hopefully, you have your next one is when after New Year's, right?
Yeah, the next one is Potions, and it's the January 3rd or January 4th.
I'll have to look real quick.
Right, so
everyone.
You can go pick your potion bottle.
Good
and
night,
thank
Frank.
You again for calling.
Take care,
and,
my friend.
And,
take care. Take care. What about you?
And Wayne, will you go
see
ahead
you,
and comment AP and then read for us?
Yeah, sure will. That was a beautifully written poem there, AP. I like the style, too. You got this ABBB, CDD. That's great. It's a great rhyme scheme there, and you did a perfect job with it. The poem is perfect for the pick. You described it perfectly, put a little action behind it, made a storyline out of it. Great flow and good description. And I love the wording. Great job.
No, thank you, Wayne. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
You're welcome. So it's my turn to read. This is called, this is about the picture prompt. It's about cars, which I'm not really good with cars, but I tried to do my best I could. It's called Happy Ways and Happy Days. Pad polished, chrome reflecting with tangled muscle machine. Dimple dotted, silky slotted. Girl, the Happy Days Dairy Queen. Breeze back curls, skin tight shirt. Dingy denim slacks, Fonzie pride, rip-roaring ride, leaving burnt black tracks. Season sleeve, Wolfman spinning, crimson convertible car. Elvis singing around the clock, hey, Fonzie star. Gas guzzling, street racing, sunset running from dark. Two gaze-eyed teenagers traveling to Parker Park. Redneck rib, carrying cool comb, dancing with wind. Perfume painted faces fill the places I can't reach within. Lump-throated perfume people in plastic pile parking. Two tucked teens, Chris and Comfort, with butterflies barking. Chest claws, curves cracked, shouting shadow sing. Grip grinding, steam stain, knob piercing flame. rocket drive, bloodstream balls, bubble up, baby boy brain. We'd be warm to whispers, wedding wishes for a wedding ring. In, we couldn't understand what that was about.
Weeping woman whispers welded wishes for a wedding ring. And then suddenly I have, you should have put a ring on it playing in my head. I thought this was cool. And I wasn't sure if it would, you know, about the cars part, Wayne. I just figured it would be, you know, the drive-in where they come up and they put your little tray on the window.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah, like there's still one of those in Vineland. It's a Stewart's, and you can pull up and get a frosty mug of root beer and order fries, and you're in hog heaven for about 15 minutes, half hour if you're a slow eater like me. Anyway, I thought this was really cool. Sigs in Sleep, Wolfman spinning, Crimson convertible car. Now, Wolfman, I'm assuming that that's Wolfman Jack?
Wolfman Jack, yep. That's Wolfman Jack.
Well...
So
I think that you put in all the perfect little nuances that brought this to life and brought you to rerun episodes of Happy Days, or in my case, my father always had, I don't know what it's called locally to everyone else, but it was called Oldies 98 here, and Wolfman Jack was on it, and the Geeter with the heater was on it and stuff like that. So it was those kind of little memories that you were putting in my head of hanging out with my father. And, of course, it would have been him driving to the place with the where they would roll up and put the tray on your window and serve you your food. And it was never about the food because it was far from gourmet. But the root beer was so good. And your poem, your alliterations, your images, your nostalgia, and you probably, 97 words, yeah, excellent, and fun, and vivid, just like you, Wayne. Fantastic share. And AP, as you are going to read for Alf, I would need you to comment for Wayne, please.
Absolutely, and look, just had a really lovely sort of sense to it. I love the image, and I love the description of the Dairy Queen and the greaseback curls and the denim slacks and it just had a real sense of place and time and the words that you used really got that sort of sense across of that very short space of time when that was where everybody was at, Wayne, and I think you did a wonderful job with it.
About a girl and a guy getting a car and going out parking, and she gets pregnant. That's what it's all about. If you want to do the theme of the end of it, so I'm pretty abstract, but that's what it's about.
Not too abstract. It happens to too many people, I would think. Having a little fun in that car. All right. Amazing share. And AP, if you see Alf, please.
I do. This is my friend, Mr. Alf Collier, and this is called The Alchemist, and it goes a little bit like this. Ebony walls smudged in chalk formulae escort the darkness of my mission in a cavern of shrouded exploration. Onyx directives bathed in seething cobalt marbled smoke, cut of thumbs, colloped pages, printed in script, whiskered by the passage of past millennia. Pewter chalices and crystal flasks convene, herding empty files and blistered indigo vessels on a congested bench. My puckered brow twitches in tasseled sweat as the amber alerts of chemistry replay in neon light in a mind focused on pioneering a triumphing wizardry. My blemished canvas smock, embroidered with a metallic stucco coating, straddles the pitted floor of the cave. The liquid blueprint to eternity trembles in my hand. Have I found it? The means to rise another rung in my journey of life. In poem.
Beautiful read. Thank you. Well, I like it. I like his choices here. Bathed in seething cobalt marbled smoke. Cover thumb scalloped pages printed in script, whiskered by the passage of past millennia. My blemished canvas smock, embroidered with metallic stucco coating, straddles the pitted floor of the cave. The details that he used to describe the alchemist's den, I would call it, are really awesome. And the liquid blueprint to eternity, I don't know why, but I am tickled by the thought of a liquid blueprint to eternity. Trembles in my hand. Have I found it? I like that question. Has he? And Alf, if you have, share. Just saying. But this is really an awesome use of your prompt, and I bet it's been quite a while since you got to hear AP read for you. I appreciate you both, and I'm always in awe of how Alf uses his word banks. He's one of the people that if I go to a contest and see who's in there, and if Alf entered, chances are good I'll scroll to the next contest, because I don't know how he does some of the stuff he comes up with, because some people come up with these wild word banks and he can still spin a story from it. So excellent share. And before I get another comment, let me say I can't believe Linda, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to leave you on hold so long. You should have yelled at me on the chat wall. I'm so sorry.
Not a problem.
I'm really glad you're here.
Yeah, I thought I'd stop in tonight and see what's going on.
Well, we are jam-packed. So just so you know what we're doing, I'm putting up a poem. One into red, I comment, and then the next reader comments, and we keep on going because I still have a ton, and we are almost at the first hour mark already. So I am thrilled you are here, and I want to have AP comment for Alf before
Happy to do so. Always happy to comment on Alf's work because it's he's a brilliant writer, Dick. And his use of words is my, I love the herding of empty vials. I love the blistered indigo vessels. That the words he uses are not just words, but they indicate shape and they indicate the rippling and the, and you can feel the objects because of the words that he uses. And it's a really clever writer. Always admired what he does, and long may he do it.
Awesome comment. Thank you, AP. And I know it's work day afternoon, and I appreciate you calling and for the extra read.
Okay. And I will depart stage left, and thank you again for all of the prompts, which are outstanding.
My pleasure, and appreciate you. And we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks again, Deb. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Later, Abby.
Here we go. Now, going to have Jay. Jay's poem is up, and I have a recording for it. So if you guys look, Jay's, we'll do Jay's and then Mocha's. So I'm headed to the studio. Does everyone see Jay's link?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Here we go.
Thank you.
Pushing on Airplanes by JCA. Her mosaic nose touches the citrine rays, caressing the bone cotton clouds, tasseled in the petrichor sky. She rides on translucent winds, skirting the moist Paraíba breakers, soaking in the aquamarine sea spray, scorching my rib chest. Etched in my thorny brain, embroidered on my olive leather skin, the smiles and the stares folded into the dough of my liquid poetry. Quilted blood skates in the island, printed, she leads with the golden hot flames. I faint in the steam scarlet glow, crocheted in her brass satin throat. A beaded oval moon covering the crystal clementine dots, pockmarked in a million polished pewter shooting stars. Strobed sequin of the first chrome airplane, jeweled tickling lights. A wish, then you.
In my thorny brain, embroidered on my olive leather skin, the smiles and the stares folded into the dough, my liquid poetry. I love that. Quilted blood skates in the island, printed, she leads with the golden hot flames. I faint in the steam scarlet glow. Crocheted in her brass satin throat. The images are incredible here, Jay, and I love the lyric that you put with it, the wishing on airplanes. It's like in the song, they're wishing on an airplane as if it was a shooting star, and here it's on these beautiful winged horses. What was that? A beaded oval moon covering the crystal clementine dot, pockmarked in a million polished pewter shooting stars. I mean, the images here absolutely jump off the page, and I see that it's a 10 for you, and it's you're well over 100. Awesome. Good for you. You got a medal on it already, too. I mean, easy to see why. And I like how you pulled the song back in at the end there, strobed sequin on the first chrome airplane, jeweled tickling lights, a wish, then you. Aw. And that ending, a wish, then you, kind of melts people. I bet one in particular. This is really gorgeous. I love the use of the word bank, the song that you chose, the recording that you made, and wishing on airplanes as a title. But I know I'm still in the lines. I can't help myself. All the way back to the beginning, her mosaic nose touches the citrine rays, caressing the bone cotton clouds tasseled in the petrichor sky. Now, that's a favorite scent of yours, if I remember correctly. I believe I've heard you talk about the smell after rain before.
So yes.
I like that you used that. I think that you did a brilliant job with it. Absolutely. Let me see here. I'm going to put Mocha's recording up next, but she cannot comment. So I was wondering if maybe I could get a comment for Jay from Linda, please.
Yeah, well, you know, Jay always has a way with words, and this, as you said, this was a gorgeous piece. Congratulations, Jay, on your medal. It was very imagematic. The sights and sounds were there, as the scents as well. And I really liked it. Good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I am going to, well, I'm trying, there's the window. My phone's beeping at me. I'm going to grab Mocha's poem. And then after Mocha's poem, Jay, I'll have you push whatever's happening at Il Nostro Break. No. Where is, there's Mocha. Okay. And I will have it on the board in just a second so that Mocha can go to bed because it's very late where she's at. And you guys yell when you see the link and I'll push play.
Got it.
Awesome. Here we go.
Her Elysium Desert by Mocha 868. Burning copper halo of a fallen Amun-Ra showers her in blistered maze beams, inscribing hieroglyphs on her ebony velvet. Upon tanned sandy seas, pointed toes landed, a tentative frolic, feathered mosaic steps on a scorching brass surface. They sting her hallowed heels. The deity must dance light, bears of biting amber, mahogany silk drinking the sunflower rays for the freedom to reside in her bronze-etched canvas, to swim through her chiffon solitude, tasting salted toffee reveries, weeping titanium quartz tears, drowning in oxblood wine poured out of fluted pearl decanters. Mortals cannot reside here. Their dowdy stumps would disturb the delicately carved curling dunes, perforating thick cappuccino dust, beaming accordioned vibrations to the scaled obsidian leviathan, slumbering in the fathomless below, if they are not devoured first by the grinding swall of cutting sands that drink honeyed hemoglobin, melting them into crushed carnelian winds, leaving only dehydrated husks. Snowy bone cacti rising up, waving their thorny tips in snarling praise, in reverence to the goddess and her holy space. End poem.
Such a beautiful voice. I love, aside from the poem itself, I love the way she pronounces words. So many parts. Which one do I pick? Well, right from the get-go, burning copper halo of a fallen Amun-Ra showers her in blistered maize beans. Woohoo. Down in the middle, the deity must dance light, bear the biting amber, mahogany silk drinking the sunflower rays for the freedom to reside. But towards the end, where is that? Beaming accordion vibrations to the skin scaled obsidian leviathan, slumbering in the fathomless below. If they are not devoured first by the grinding squall of cutting sound. I was so sad by the thought of them being devoured first by that squall. Leaving only dehydrated husks, snowy bone cacti rising up, waving their thorny tips in a snarling praise. I love that. Those thorns that are the needles that on the end of the cacti, snarling praise. That is absolutely brilliant phrasing right there. In reverence to the goddess, space, and her holy. So, like, it ends, and there's a spiritual feel that ties all the way back to the beginning there with that burning copper halo. So, gorgeous wording. Beautiful voice, beautiful read. I love the use of the word bank. So many words. The delicately carved, curling dunes, perforating thick cappuccino dust. So the images are fantastic, too. And I realize that I'm stealing lots and lots of lines, but for one, we're doing limited commenting tonight. And for two, I'm the hostess, and it's my prerogative. But the poem, the poem is just stunning. And I know that Mocha's been on the road, so it was, like, extra special that she rushed home to make the recording, so I appreciate that. And the poem. And even though Kimberly's the next reader, and I will have her comment in a moment, I wanted to see if Jay wanted to comment.
Sure, absolutely. This is absolutely phenomenal. First of all, you're absolutely correct on the way Mocha reads. She just brought this to life. She brought the character out. There's a couple points that I really want to point out. And first of all, weeping titanium quartz tears. She goes, this whole thing is just a brilliant a little stanza. For freedom resides in her bronze-etched canvas to swim through her chiffon solitude, tasting salted toffee reveries, weeping titanium quartz tears. Now, I have actually gone out and rock-hounded and went to a mine and got titanium quartz before. It's a mineral called rutile. And if you've seen rutile, it's almost black, but it's a deep red black. It almost looks like dried blood. So when you take a look and see drowning in ox blood wine after that, I think that is just a spectacular use of the gemstone itself. And I'm a huge gemstone fan. So I think that she just absolutely killed it. The second one, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but after she goes, burning copper halo of fallen Amun-Ra showers her in blistered maize beams. The word maize is not like maize walking through, it's maize corn. Then if you go to the end and it says, melting them into crushed carnelian winds, leaving only dehydrated husks. When you remove the corn from the husk, you imagine that I don't think that anything she does is an accident. She is a super intelligent writer. And to actually put maize at the beginning and then follow it up with husk at the end, I think that was a purposed, she did that on purpose because she does her research like nobody I know on these. She is, like I said, it's super intelligent, and I just find this piece absolutely phenomenal. Mocha, you did an amazing job on this.
Awesome comment. Now, before I get Kimberly to comment and read, do you want to tell us about what's going on at your radio show?
Sure. We are on a break right now, but we are going to start back up on the 6th of January. And like I said, we're just chilling out, relaxing. I have off of work for the rest of the year, so so I'm trying to recover before I have to get back and trying to breathe a little bit. Mocha's out on the road, like you said, and she's going to try to recover too when she gets back. But we are setting something up for the 6th, and we will when we. We're talking about it right now, but it's definitely 100% noontime. It's the living room and noon Eastern on the 6th. Don't miss it. We're going to have something extra special for everybody.
Awesome. And on a side note, as far as your radio team, I have to tell you that production that Gonzo put out with you on Christmas Eve is incredible. I believe they were his children, and they did.
They were his cousins. I mean, his
cousins,
nephews.
Okay.
It was his nephews.
They did
okay.
Such a cute job working with him. I highly recommend anybody that hasn't given it a listen. I think it's like 35 minutes long, give or take.
Yep.
And it's brilliant.
Do you mind if I drop that on the board right now?
Go right ahead.
Okay.
And in the meantime,
this right here, at any time, you guys listen at your discretion. It is the Christmas special with that Gonzo did for us. Absolutely phenomenal. It's getting more and more listens as we talk every single day. So it's definitely something that you don't want to miss. It's not for the little kids. I'm going to let you know that. But it's definitely a great little, I would say, PG show, so just don't definitely something to check out.
Absolutely. And if the link gets buried, guys, just jump into the listening booth, and the player is on there, and since that's their last show at the moment, it'll stay there, so you can just push play there also. So there's two ways, or over at their group. So in the meantime, Kimberly, will you comment on Mocha's poem and then read yours for us? I lost her. Oh, no. I wonder what happened. Dave, can you comment on Mocha's poem for me? I don't know what happened to Kimberly.
Did you say
David, are you muted?
No,
I
I'm
hear you.
Not anymore. Well, I can't really comment on her because I'm ignoring this person, so I'll have to pass on it.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a shame. Okay. Wow. Okay. Apologize
is
for
Wayne
that.
Still, Wayne still
cases?
On the board?
All right.
Is Wayne still on the board?
And it looks like I lost Wayne as well. And okay. So I'm sorry. I guess the two from you and I are going to have to do. And I don't know. Okay. I'm not going to do Kimberly's just in case, unless, did I miss a message on the board? I'm feeling kind of bad that I don't think I see anything. All right, I'm going to let that sit for a moment in case she dials back, and I'm going to grab, what I want to do is I got everybody that's on the line. No, I didn't. I'm going to get Linda to read her, so let me grab that, and then I'm going to do the remaining recordings. And why is this throwing me off this page? Try that again. Trying to get to my girl's poem and it won't let me. Try that. Every time I click on your poem, Linda, it's telling me it can't be reached. So let me, not you, it's like the site, oh. I think. All right. I'm going to go directly to your page and find it myself and see if that helps. All All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put up a recording, and then I'm going to find out why I can't grab yours. So let me come over here, and I'm going to grab Phil the Poet's link and put that up on the board, and we can listen to him and his amazing accent while I find what's wrong with Linda's link. Okay, so there is Phil's, and I'm about to push play, and here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Coffee and Rainbows. A coffee smudged the rainbow stains my shirt with caramel flakes, wrinkles my tree jacket with ivory porcelain milkshakes, leaving my embroidered dreams in mocha cubes under a crimson varnished sky in waterlogged shoes. Cinnamon twists marked my pancake with a tequila sunrise, tickling a beveled cornflake bowl of compromise, caressing a plastic spoon with perforated banana dipped in beetroot juice and creamy smetana. Chocolate sprinkles lie dehydrated on a coffee-stained cup, pockmarked craters in blistered hands of King Tut, thorny segments of a tangerine dream cloudburst, sparkling lemon juice to satisfy the dreamer's thirst. Taste the pomegranate's mosaic glitter surprise, adding half a teaspoon of mocha to appetize the long-haired renegade with a hooked nose demeanor, looking like a glowing, whiskered, homeless Caesar, clutching a polystyrene coffee cup and knitted mittens, reciting poetry of the green pasture of the Britons, while the rainbow reflects in its darkened shades. The sun rises as the clouds depart, and the rain slowly fades. End poem.
Great accent. Another person it's such a joy to listen to read. There's something about the pronunciation that grabbed me. And I like coffee and rainbows. Sounds like a perfect combination for me. Chocolate sprinkles lie dehydrated on a coffee-stained cup. Pockmarked craters and blistered hands of King Tut. Thorny segments of tangerine cream cloudburst, sparkling lemon juice, and satisfy the dreamer's thirst. I got such a kick out of the fact that King Tut was in this poem, because his photo is a man with a giant coffee cup, and it's like he's trying to walk across the room in it, and there's a rainbow beaming out of it. So it just struck me really funny that King Tut is here too. So many different cinnamon twists have marked my pancake with a tequila sunrise, tickling a beveled cornflake bowl of compromise. A cornflake bowl of compromise. Well, there's a breakfast. And I mean, a little bit of compromise here and there go wrong, I'd say. And then in the closing stanza, clutching a polystyrene coffee cup in knitted mittens, reading poetry on a green pasture of the Britons, while the rainbow reflects in the darkened shades, the sun rises as the clouds depart and the rain slowly fades, because after rain, there's a rainbow. So it's like, I really like where he took this, and I like that he kept the title simple, The Coffee and the Rainbows. He's already been front page picked for this poem. Congratulations, Phil. He's already won a bronze award for this. Congratulations for that, too. Like, excellent all the way, and appreciate it. And as I said before, I really, really enjoy listening to you read, Phil. Now, Linda, I have your poem on the board. Yeah. If you would comment for Phil for me, and then read your poem.
Yeah, I just love Phil. He always has such a beautiful way of writing, and you're right there. His sound clouds are just so nice to listen to. He's got such a way of pronouncing the words. But This piece was very tasty, you know, no pun intended, but yeah, he did a great job. Thank you, Phil, for sharing it.
Awesome comment. Thank you, Linda. Did you not like your photo?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, you know what? I just realized I was just going to switch the photo right when you called on me. I totally forgot about putting the photo on there.
It's cool. No, it's all right. I was just like, I don't remember this picture. And then I remembered that it had a tree and a little. It's fine. It's fine. It's about listening to you read anyway. I wondered what happened.
Yeah, I totally spaced it, Deb. I'm so sorry. But anyway,
this has
all been said and done.
There you go.
I'm growing tired and time stands still before me. My eyes are heavy just looking for the light. Through my window, I can see the colors, gray, lilac, and teal that brings the day to night. I sit here dazed and look out on the darkness. My satin thoughts are how to set me free. Now I'm just crazy like a razor's polished edge, growing up with ornamented debauchery. I am a canvas blistered by the fire, the one that burns the crosses that I bear. The flames are burning blue and green and crimson, leaving ashes of the sentiment I cared. Embroidered shadows dance across the walls like icy dead etched on beveled glass. They are my new friends. They've come to take me home, but cannot because I'm just outside their grasp. I'm growing tired and time stands still before me, frozen here on the ladder of my life. The flowered hills surrounded by barbed wire, like my soul that's tangled up in strife. All my pictures of days before are fading, and my moments have started out to weep. My feelings like splintered wooden toy box, but my truth gets scarred, I still can keep. Scaled and thorny now become my wishes, and my hopes are rocky ever still. My big dreams are dented in and dying, but my love is something you can't kill. My skin is blemished, my bones are cracked, my brain is soiled and my thoughts are dirty, but my heart's on fire for the love of Christ to give me grace and hope and purity. All my life he's always been my true love, shining brightly just like he is the sun. He is the king of heaven and the angels. Now these things have all been said and done in poem.
Well, you know, I'm really getting a kick out of the fact that you threaded in the lyrics the way you did, or maybe not threaded them, but like blended them. I'm growing tired and time stands still before me, which of course was where it started. I sit here dazed and look out on the darkness. My satin thoughts are how to set me free. Now I just crazy like a razor's polished edge coming up with ornamented debauchery. Ornamented debauchery, what a metaphor there. And embroidered shadows dance across the walls like icy dead etched on beveled glass. They are my new friends. They've come to take me home, but cannot because I'm just outside their grasp. Well, outside their grasp. where is it? My skin is blemished and my bones are cracked. My brain is soiled and my thoughts are dirty. But my heart's on fire for the love of Christ to give me grace and hope and purity. I like the different journey you took us on from the images in the darkness all the way through the fire, the blistered fire, into an area where the time stands still before you, which is the repeat of the lyric, which gives it a, I don't know if haunting is the right word, but I like the fact that you pulled it in a second time and sort of drove it in further. Frozen here, Ladder of My Life. So that was like two of the ones, I think. So I like how you blended them, like I said at the beginning, and the word bank words that you used, you did a really fantastic job with too. Now, I'm just trying to see what's what here. Now, David, can you comment for Linda?
Yeah. I really like this. It's got Linda's trademark rhyme and meter polished to a fairly well, like it always is. I don't know what to comment on here. I mean, it's just, I don't know where to start in on it. It's all good. I kind of like the stanza here, the third one from the bottom. It says, scaled and thorny now becomes my wishes, and my hopes are rocky ever still. My big dreams are dented in and dying, but my love is something you can't kill. That's really cool. That's a really cool statement. That would be something nice to tell your girlfriend, I think, you know. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of, you know, every one of these stanzas is really nice. It's well-constructed, well thought out. It's got an interesting storyline in it. Like I said before, the rhyme and meter is spot on. It always is. Linda's always an interesting read. Every time I read any of her stuff or hear her read it, it always makes me feel good. I had a blast doing a collaboration with her a long time ago, and maybe we'll have to do that again one of these days. But anyhow,
right.
That was a good one, Linda. You did good.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Comment. And before I do the angel's poem, I need to pick up my little sis, Crystal. Hey, Crystal.
Hi.
Hey,
glad you're
Crystal.
Here,
hey, Chrissy.
Hey, Crystal.
I know. It seems like a while, hasn't it?
Well, you're a big shot teacher. You got to do what you got to do, right? But we're here with David and David JCA, Liquid Damage Linda, and Manu. So you're just in time to hear me read for Heavenly Angel. And I'm just trying to remember, I did put it on the board. Okay. So, if you guys would click on that, I will read for her. And, Crystal, since you just got here, hon, I had 20-some poems tonight, so I'm commenting on them, and then the next reader is as well. So, I am about to read for Angel. And I can find where I just put that poem. I'm losing control here. Okay, where is A Team of Voices? Where are you? There it is. Okay, now, this is called Journey On by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. There are times when I find myself frozen here on the ladder of my life, on a journey of exploration, not knowing where the path will lead, putting trust that the canvas will be painted in vibrant, rich colors, cleansing properties for the soul to its inner core with the essence of sapphire water and golden rays of hope. Spirit has walked the plank with life preservers on as biting sharks circled in blemished, clouded waters below, in the company of butter-yellow sunshine on a white-winged Pegasus. Silvery cashmere light illuminates paths through threads crocheted with emerald in between. The horizon inscribed with limitless opportunities, I made choices on this journey called life and where I chose to be.
Did we lose Deb or did we lose me?
That's what I was just wondering. I think we lost Deb.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, I'll get. Let me.
The other phone. I'm sorry. The other phone just died. Did I finish the poem before it died or no?
No, you didn't.
All right. I'm just going to start over. I'm sorry, you guys. The other phone died on me. I looked down and the light was out. I'm just going to start over. Journey On by Heavenly Angel. There are times when I find myself frozen here on the ladder of my life, on a journey of exploration, not knowing where the path will lead, putting trust that the canvas will be painted in vibrant, rich colors, cleansing properties for the soul to its inner core with the essence of sapphire water and golden rays of hope. Spirit has walked the plank with life preservers on as biting sharks circled in blemished, clouded waters below in the company of butter yellow sunshine on white-winged Pegasus. Silvery cashmere light illuminates a path through threads crocheted with emerald in between, the horizon inscribed with limitless opportunities. I made choices in this journey called life. And where I chose to be, clawed my way through the cutting barbed fences, dripping blood to arrive. I know not what lies ahead. Only time whispered into the breeze, giving copper pennies for thoughts to toss. May it be. End poem. I'm sorry again about having to reread. Wow, Angel, I'm enamored here at this end, given copper pennies for thoughts to toss. I like to play on words there about tossing, and I could picture it. I'm picturing the glitter off the penny as it's tossed into the fountain, and you never even had to say anything about the fountain. I just love that. I'm jealous, given copper pennies for thoughts to toss. I wish I wrote that. I also like silvery cashmere light illuminates a path through threads crocheted with emerald in between. And I made choices on this journey called life, and I am where I chose to be. And I know not what lies ahead, only time whispered on a breeze. There's a wealth of knowledge mixed with spirituality, mixed with images, just totally brings this to life. And when I saw that wing, it was just like I knew you would love this photo. And it's gorgeous because the winged horse, and you could imagine the winged angel under there. And it's just like, I think you did an absolutely beautiful job with this, Angel, and it's always my honor to be your reader. Appreciate you very much. And Crystal, I'm going to grab your link. So if you would comment for Heavenly Angel, but before you do that, give me a half a second to say hey to Grace. Hey, babe, welcome to
hey.
The end.
I called like glad twice and it says it wasn't on air, so I don't know what happened.
Something's been going crazy lately with the volume, with I tried to load one of Linda's poems earlier, and it told me that there wasn't one, and I could see it was there, but it wouldn't let me pick it up. Anyway, I'm very glad you're here, Angel. While I grab her poem.
All right.
Yeah, this is definitely. I just added it to one of my lists, but I had to because it's just gorgeous. I love it. I often do love poems about life. I've written a lot myself, but I love just the feeling behind this, kind of like there's just that warmth towards life and like that, like you want to journey on. And so the title she gives is perfect. But here are the parts I say that, I mean, I'm of course going to love the part of the essence of sapphire water and golden rays of hope. I love that. And the other one as well, in the company of butter yellow sunshine and white winged Pegasus. I love that buttery yellow because it's got that vibrant yellow color, and I'm just imagining the sun like that. And then it is, if you look at the picture, it is glaring off of her that way. So, but I love the colors and the description and everything, but really just the message that lies right there that we got to just keep going on in this life. And even if we make mistakes along the way, that's just part of the journey. That's just part of the chapter that you're in, and that you'll just keep going and going, and that, and like that, but brings the ups and the downs, and but you're always going to end up where you're supposed to be. So I think she just did an awesome job with this.
Beautiful comment. Your poem is on the board, so show us what you got.
All right. Okay. And I love the picture. Like, I was going through all the pictures. I was like, which one's mine? And then I found mine. I was like, oh, that's definitely me.
Awesome.
Underwater Trembles is what it's called. She slowly trembles, ballooned in the ocean of her underwater emotions. She wanders adrift, inscribed in the grains of ivory sand that dwindle from her caressed hand. Swallowing saltwater poison from the ink of barbed wire squids, jarred with the oxygen of a lifeless lid. Sunlight beckons on her window as she trapped in a blue submarine, cutting circulation with crimson screens. Waterlogged pages turn the chapter, burying the burning ship, choking the vessel, glass chips. Boulders between beloved, soaking the sobs, whispers, scratching the razor with blisters. Piercing pain from white-laced frames of broken promises and unaddressed names. Nothing is ever the same. End poem.
Crystal. Underwater Trembles. I love the title. I love, love, love the title. Inscribed in the grains of ivory sand that dwindle from her caressed hands, swallowing saltwater poison from the ink of barbed wire squids. Oh, man. Jarred with the oxygen of a lifeless lid, right? Waterlogged papers turn the chapter, burying the burning ships, choking on the vessel's glass chips. The emotion is overwhelming in some of these spots here, the pain, the sadness, that sunlight beckons on her window, but she's trapped in the blue submarine. I'm just a little bit overwhelmed because your last couple poems have had such powerful, gripping emotions in them, Crystal. And like, sunlight beckons her window, but she's trapped. I keep getting pulled back to that, the sadness of that being trapped, and the submarine. You know, you can't get out. There's nowhere to go. You don't feel the sunshine. So like, this is another one of your pieces that are just kind of hitting me. And then I look at your lyric. Sometimes I wish someone out there will find me. We're looking for you, Crystal. Our hope, like, I get so sad. I'm so used to you coming full circle and always bringing us back to that hope that I'm feeling a little sad. And as I was just saying a minute or two ago, you've had a couple like that. Piercing pain from white-laced frames of broken promises. I know I keep saying it, and I'm starting to stutter, but the emotions are getting me. I think that you did a hell of a job with this. And one last time, I'm really taken by sunlight, like beckons on her window, but she's trapped in the blue submarine. I think you did excellent with this. My, oh my. Gress, you'll be the next reader. Will you comment for Crystal, please?
Sure will. I could feel the pain and sadness in this, right? I could, it's like you're trapped with everything that's going on around you, and you see the beauty around you, but you can't touch it or feel it because you're secluded from all those, because you're sorrowful of what's happened in your own life, and you can't enjoy what's going on around you. I feel like I've felt this before myself, so I really appreciate the poem. It's really emotive, very well written.
Thank you, Beth.
Awesome comment. Awesome share all the way around. And Crystal, you sound like you've either been crying or you don't feel well, and in either case, I hope you feel better fast. But I'm so happy you called.
I've just had a long few weeks, that's all I'm going to say. But no, the whole thing of writing darker, which some of it does have to do with emotions, but some of it, I don't know. That's just been coming out. I may be happy as a clam, but when I sit down to write, like, that's just what comes out.
Well, it's been really incredible and powerful. So don't fight it. Let it flow. Really a fantastic share. Now, Gress, you want to show us what you got? Gress, are you muted?
I wrote this picture as soon as you sent it to me, and it came out a little bit religious, but I thought I'd write it anyway because that's what the picture inspired. And so it goes like this. It says, a window to escape. And it goes like this. My faith is a window that opens in front of me when the serrated world cuts me open as I bleed a sangria nightmare. The door is slatted with cotton white cloud of hierarchy above the black loneliness that feeds my splintered self-doubt that is out of focus with a smudged lens. I get hooked by the plastic world film, materialistic feel-good trinkets of greed to the goblin inside. I drop a few shekels into the red pot to tell myself, I'm generous, I'm a loving man. The tangerine and azure sky hovers above the bay. It brings me back. As the splendor of his brush gets me realizing the stamped existence I live, I walk into the gulf feeling love, no longer scarred. For God, for the sun shines on me.
I love the play on words at the end there. For the sun shines on me. Excellent, excellent, excellent there. Okay, back up. My faith is the window that opens in front of me. When the serrated world cut me open as I bled a sad grand nightmare. Damn, Gress. Gutting me here. Back-to-back sorrow. I get hooked by the plastic world, feeding materialistic feel-good trinkets of greed to the goblin inside. I drop a few shekels into the red pot to tell myself I'm generous. I'm a loving man. On a side note, I find that to be true. I believe you to be a very generous, loving man. Just saying. No picking on my friend. I get hooked by a plastic world. I like to use that expression, that plastic expression. I usually pair it with a smile, though, that plastic smile to emphasize my thought that someone's fake, that kind of smile in your face person that stabs you in the back as soon as you blink or turn. And that's kind of the feel I get there from being hooked by the plastic world. And then feeding materialistic feel-good trinkets of greed. And then it takes me back to something that you had said many years ago about how dating can be discouraging because it seems like some days you're surrounded by gold diggers that just want to know what they can get from you and not what you can feel from each other. So it's like I could feel the turmoil there, the sadness and the emotion. But back to that end, I walked to the golf feeling loved and no longer scarred for the sun shines on me. I really do think that the play on words there is brilliant, but the meaning is perfect. And yes, the sun, S-O-N, for those who can only hear me and not see the link that he just shared, for the sun, S-O-N, shines on me. I think there was a gloom and doom thought in that photo for a moment, because even though there's a light there at that window, it's just... It has a finality to it. So for you to end it with the sun that shines, I thought was a nice touch, Greg. Beautiful job. And there's the hope I thought that we usually get at the end of crystals. So tying them together worked out kind of well. Saying, really beautiful piece. And let me see, how about, before I get a comment, let me say hello to Sweet. My sweet.
Hello.
Hey, sweet pea.
Hi, guys. Hey.
Hello,
glad you're here, guys. I'm so happy to be here. Sorry.
No, that's okay. We're here with Dave and Jay and Crystal and Gress and me and you. And I am about to get a comment for Gress from JCA, please.
All right. Now, I really got hooked. I got hooked into that third stanza. Get hooked into the plastic world, feeding materialistic. But the ending of it really, really talked to me. I drop a few shekels into the red pot to tell myself I'm generous. I'm a loving man. Now, I don't think the plastic there is necessarily describing fake. I'm looking at it like it's describing a debit card, something that we're so used to throwing in to get money that really we're not even holding in our hands to buy something. So we have this debit card that is, maybe we got 500, 700, who knows, 6,000, 7,000, who knows how much money is on this debit card. Yet we throw 25 cents into a Salvation Army can, and we think that we're generous. And we're looking at ourselves. That's where the real fake comes in. And then he goes and sees the sunset, the tangerine and azure sky, that hovers above the bay, and he's seeing that sunset hit, and it's kind of waking him up and saying, you know what, what's the real important part here? What's really going on? What's really happening? Are you really that generous and that loving that you'd only give 25 cents? And you're right now being given this beautiful, beautiful sunset. It's like a wake-up call. It's like, hello. You know, I've given you all of this, and you're only willing to give a little bit. And that's kind of that almost is like the cry of this piece. And I think that this piece is what it is like a wake up call. You know what? I don't care what faith anybody is saying. It's like, are we going to turn around and what did we do for the people in Kentucky? That we're in the path of the tornadoes. What did we do for other people during this time, during the holidays? You know, what were we able to do to make a difference, and not just throw 25 cents or the change that they may have gotten from the store into a little can. What are we going to do? It's like, are we giving the substantial amount of what we need to give to make people's lives better, to make a difference. And I really take that from your piece here, Gress. Brilliant.
That's basically what it is about. It's we get into our common, in our everyday lives, and we placate ourselves with our existence by we did this, we did that, but that's not truly what faith is. Faith is more than that. And I appreciate your comments. It's right on in a lot of instances. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I call him the dissector, Gress. He's really good at it. Gress, while you have the mic, why don't you tell everyone, including Jay, since he's off tomorrow, what's going on tomorrow, because I think it's going to be really fun, and I'm hoping that a couple more people pick a character.
Well,
so tell us.
I've had this idea for a long time. It's basically, it's like a talk show, and you call up as one of the people that's on the talk show, and we basically discover more about that person. Even though we think we know what they are, there's more to the story than what's being told. So the assignment is become somebody else. And for you have Selena tomorrow night. You'll be Selena. And so far, AP Reigns, upon Reigns, AP will be Chris Cornell. So basically, you research the person, and then I ask you questions about that person. And these are questions that should be able to be answered. It's nothing hard, but it basically gives us some insight to that person other than what the media has presented as. And this is called Crapshoot. And I actually have tried to sell this idea to History Channel, too. So we'll see how it goes.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. And like you had sent me that list, does everybody get that same list? Because I mean, I don't think they're realizing how easy it could be and fun, you know. I could see Jay doing an Elvis impression or something. Just saying. But yeah, no.
Jay's
going to
be my sidekick tomorrow. I'm going to be the host, and he's going to be the sidekick. He's going to ask questions too, but he's going to be.
Well, I meant this Jay, though. I'm sorry. I didn't mean Jay Haddon. I meant Jay CA. Because usually he's at work and can't participate. I thought maybe he might have some fun with that. And he could do, I even can bet you who he would pick, like this guy named Freddie, if he participated. But just saying.
We'll see. Right. If it goes halfway decent, I'll do it again. And it'll be different. There'll be different people, it'll be different themes and stuff like that.
Awesome. All right, well, if you guys would click on Titus's link, I have his SoundCloud, and Sweet, if you would check your inbox, that would be awesome.
I'm good with that.
Okay, cool. All right. Would you also put your link up?
Sure.
Have you go after Titus? Okay.
I did. I threw it up on the board.
Cool. So then I'll comment on Titus, and then I will have you do the same and then read yours. So here comes Titus.
Let time stand still before me. Decay would, as a result of death, declare me a man. That cinnamon would strive a little dignity to personify a private place. That peace be unperturbed still life. The last sight for which an everlasting memory can be envisaged. History books do enlighten us with tasseled timelines from a classic age that our present generation will lose touch with. Silhouetted lymphoid follicles, free-veined with coral features. Well, I take it, caressing the past will not bring the light back. While to air is human, to forgive divine, it is quartz. Unpretentious ox blood will soon coagulate gelatinous resin to conform the path, if not dehydrated already, to find enameled one of the unlikeliest of regions. One needs to describe the liquid form. Encased hardened crystal pertains to a glazed trap of sleeping beauty. You'll see from the yellow tinge in turning blue, then what will remain will be a blank canvas bestrewn. Caressing the dead, a testimony in itself, beneath a beautifully varnished chaste. Never again will it be known whether or not a peripheral outer layer or underside exists. There is not a place on earth like this inscribed to reverse the outcome. Coated memory will envisage porcelain would endeavor to bring tears to our eyes. Each cheek is veneered with soon to be forgotten trails. A wipe may envelop to soothe the mourning pass. Merlot, in the wake of this bereavement, I take it, toast of inscribed cranberry, the last words. You will find me stone cold sober, as is it will be hoped you will remain also, my friends, to sip your praises. I pray it won't be laced with loathing.
My goodness. History books do enlighten us with tasseled timelines from classic age present generation will lose touch with. You know, there was something about that that grabbed me right away, and actually it kept me there for a minute because all these things started rolling through my mind that our present generation will lose touch with. Everything from... it might sound trivial, but the patriotic songs that they would teach us in elementary school, and then you would do this little musical and sing for your parents and stuff, and, you know, you would sing My Country, Tis of Thee, and America the Beautiful, and songs like that, and they don't do that anymore, and the kids are like, what's that? I never heard that, you know, and so they're losing touch with that, and my goodness, I could go on a rant just from that spot itself. You know, chivalry is dead quite often, and respect for elders. But then you think about, you know, well, sometimes respect goes both ways, and you got to give what you get. So it's just like my mind was racing just from that. And I lost a couple of sentences because I was so engulfed in that. And then he pulled me back in. Caressing the dead, a testimony in itself beneath a beautifully varnished, chaste. Never again will it be known whether or not peripheral outer layer or underside exists. There is not a place on earth like this inscribed to reverse the outcome. The finality of that, there is not a place on earth like this inscribed to reverse the outcome. That's like really, really hard hitting. And then we have the endeavor to bring tears to our eyes. Each cheek is veneered with soon to be forgotten trails. I'm stuck there again. Each cheek is veneered with soon to be forgotten trails. Like sometimes, you know, you cry it out and let it go. But forgotten trails, veneered. The nearness seems so permanent, stuck, it's there, but then it's a forgotten trail to be wiped. So I like that the contrast in there, the I don't know if it, I can't place what the emotion was that I heard in his voice, but there was like a it's not sorrow, like a sadness, like a, like a, It just I don't see how it's going to change. It's just
melancholy.
Yeah, there's a couple good ones. That's not exact. I can't put my finger on it, but I keep getting pulled back to that loss, how the generation, and each generation loses a little bit more of it, and then they're so far out of touch that it's just gone. And then it would be something that's spilled down a cheek and then wiped off and forgotten later. This is a very thought-provoking piece. And to relate it to the let time stand still before me, that image in that photo, it's like time is standing still right there and the reflection of the trees, the beautiful cypress in it. It's very powerful. And I know I've repeated it, but I keep going back to that stuff that's being lost. I think this is an excellent share. Sweet, will you comment for Titus and then read your poem for us?
Okay, so I usually have a really hard time, you know, digesting Titus on my first reads, and this one was just so clear and so, you know, right there. And thank you for taking some of my favorite lines. By the way, you and I tend to do that with each other. But I loved history books to enlighten us with tassel timelines from classic age. But the other one I really also enjoyed a lot is, and now let me see if I can find it. You hiked her there already to find enameled, one of the unlikeliest of regions. I like, you know, to see that hardened over, glassed over. You know, I thought that was like a really great way to say that. I really do enjoy that. What will, and you'll see the yellow tinge in turning blue, and what will remain will be a blank canvas bestrewn. I thought that was really just visceral imagery. Thought that was pretty strong wording. It just kind of really struck me. I also love the each cheek is veneered with soon to be forgotten trails. You went over that pretty good. That was pretty powerful in there. But I also think that the very last line of this poem is something that kind of strikes me, not just with what he's speaking to, but so many things that happen in life, whether it's something simple that happens between friends, that happens between husband and wives, that happens in a simple argument, or anything. To sip your praises, I pray it won't be laced with loathing. I love that line. I pray it won't be laced with loathing, because it's basically, you know, I'll say all these wonderful things about you, but I really hope deep down inside I'm not resentful of it. I hope I'm not just a tad bit of that loathing towards you, because, you know, I'm jealous of it, or I'm resentful towards you, or there's something about that line that just struck me as power. And I really, really enjoyed that, Titus.
And amazing comment, sweet. And on a side note, right before you start reading, even though I did send him a message yesterday was Titus's 70th birthday. Happy birthday, Titus. I hope it was a fabulous day. And thank you for the poem. And my sweet, show us what you got.
All righty then. Bejeweled in emeralds, diamonds, and finest linens, through city streets and 1,000 years of tradition, she carries a vision in champagne lace and golden rings. Rides in cracked wooden cars on long train rides. On bended knees, she bows to crowds under big top tents, to wrinkled people in faded red clown face smiles. She swings her trunk in the dust-coated cement as dimpled, dirty-faced children smile at her antics. from across the cold steel bars of your zoo yard. The three sisters, the sisters three, all dream of tangerine skies where the ground knew the soles of their feet and the history of their ancestors sang in their hearts in poem.
Wow. The jeweled and emerald diamonds and the finest linens through the city streets. A thousand years of tradition, she carries a vision, champagne lace and golden rings. I love, love, love the opening there. She swings her trunk in the dust-coated cement as dimpled, dirty-faced children smile at her antics. The last part, where the ground knew the soles of their feet and the history of their ancestors sang in their hearts. My. I guess every form of refuge has its price. And what a price those magnificent creatures paid. There was a back and forth because there's gorgeous images, but stuff like that dust-covered cement as dimpled, dirty-faced children. But the dust-coated cement just sounds so painful, like, you know, My emotions are going back and forth with me here. On bended knee, she knows she bows to crowds under the big top, to wrinkled people and faded red clown faces. And it's just like, you know, on the surface, it sounds like it would be fun things, kids running around and the circus and whatnot. Then you think about the steel cage and you think about zoos and you think about the dirt on them and the years that this has been going on and their ancestors weigh heavy on us because you figure back then there was no PETA to watch to see how they were taken care of or how they weren't. And the treatment
well,
was...
Okay, sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
And they hold on to these memories, and it's like such a long history of sadness. And my heart breaks when I think of all the times that I thought it was so awesome, Barnum and Bailey Circus or at the zoo or at Great Adventure or wherever I'm seeing these. And then I'm thinking that, you know, well, how would I like to be put in one spot and have people staring at me, pointing at me, laughing with me, how I would feel about having to perform. But the cold steel bars just keep coming back at me. And sweet, your love for the elephants was showing so much that the images that you were using were coming from your love, but the scenes they were given were showing the contrast of what they go through, and it was really, really a heady pen. So I think you did a great job with it. And what did you want to say?
I was just going to say, when elephants are in their homeland or where they're from, they walk the same trail. They have walked the same trail for since the beginning of time. And when they walk that trail, they go to the bones of their ancestor. Herd after herd after herd after herd have always returned, and they mourn. They mourn the elephants that have lost there. So you mourn your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your mother, and if they've lost a child. So the dust and the ground, they know the soul. They know the souls that have walked. So when we remove them from that, they lose part of that. They lose. They still have that part of them. So when they're removed from their homes, they still grieve, and they grieve the loss. So you know, this poem is about three sisters that were separated, but they still wish to be together. And there's a really great story of these two elephants that were separated, and somehow they come together on in a refugee, an elephant refuge. And they could not figure out why they were so angry. These elephants got very angry because they kept separating them. And they kept trying to get together, and they kept trying to get until they realized that these two elephants were sisters. They hadn't seen each other for 30, 35 years or whatever. And all they wanted to do was be very, very close to each other. And then they never separated again. It's because they never forget. And they never forget where they came from. They never forget the path they've walked. They never forget their families. And so when they say the ground they come from, they know. They know their souls. They know where their ancestors are. They know where the bones of their ancestors are. So it always strikes me when people say there's no emotions, because you can watch an elephant take its trunk over a skull and watch it tear up and almost like cry. So it's the history of their ancestors saying in their hearts. And it really just kills me to watch that. So you picked the right prompt, yeah. Andy.
And I did read recently about how if they are walking and they come across the bones, that they will stop, as you said, and mourn and pay respect to their loved ones. And how can people see that love, see that lifelong connection and just treat them like trophies and workhorses? I mean, amazing share, sweet. Amazing share. Okay, who are we still here? Gress, will you comment for sweet, please?
Yeah, to me, it's like it's the same thing with all animals. I guess you see it in a new light. If you ever seen Blackfish, that's a tale about the orcas in SeaWorld. And you come to, you know, these are intelligent animals that we subjugate to our whims because, you know, we're masters of the universe. But we don't understand that they have feelings and they feel just like we do. And when you see animal suffering and the majesty of the elephants and their great, you know, the way that they work in a group dynamic, it's, you can learn things from them that people can't even do. So I loved it. I loved the writing. It really got me. So I appreciate it.
Awesome. And for some reason, I have a feeling that you have something to say.
Off again. Hello.
Were you asking? Who? Me?
Yeah, I kind of felt like you might want to say something.
No, you did. I do, and I'm glad we were able to put it here and not on the board. What this particular rite is kind of speaking to me is this goes beyond just the physical elephant itself. This goes to someone who is walking with an elephant spirit totem or spirit animal, and when you read about the elephant. The message of the elephant is connectedness. The questions that come behind it is, have you lost intimacy within your home? Have you been lax with keeping touch with other people? Have you tried to stretch out and reach out to other people? You know, that's what all of the, you know, you mentioned the elephant itself and its abilities, but the whole thing about it is when you're dealing with it on a kind of a spiritual level, it kind of represents the same thing, because it talks about sacrificing in times of drought, you know, making sure that other people are taken care of before you and everything like that, and that's kind of like what I see here. Because she swings her trunk in the dust-coated cement as dimpled, dirty-faced children smile at her antics from across the cold steel bars of your zoo yard. You know, it's like this is a person who is, you know, kind of takes charge and tries to protect those kids and tries to make them happy and everything like that. So I think that this goes far beyond just the physical into the kind of the spiritual aspects of the elephant spirit animal. And I think that this is quite a powerful piece.
Awesome comment.
Mm, wonderful comment. Awesome. Okay, so on the tape, Simply Joe, Xylophonic Blues, Iris 3, and Kimberly Baker, your poems will be moved to Open Poetry on Thursday night. I will drop you a private message after the show ends. So I'm just going to play the last two recordings. So if you guys would click on Gerald's first, I'd appreciate it.
Son of Nature, written and read by Gerald Green. The wildlife cam caught just a glimpse, however brief, of Mother Nature's son. One dark, gray autumn afternoon. He's seldom seen, residing where you'd not expect. A youth unbridled, full of splintered energy. His mother fails to monitor the things he does, as his distractions interrupt and stain what's been laid out. His dripping head creates no ripples as it silently breaks through the surface of the muddy puddle outside the ancient cemetery. When he smiles, the soggy ground shakes, and the oldest pitted monuments tip to one side, saluting his presence. Engravings morph as if by magic, turning silver panegyrics into words of white surrender, mocking cotton sheen. Wet and soaking leaves surround this humble temple, full of brown reserve, held by some in veneration's grasp, green with envy. Mother Nature feels distress, creating anger that's released with grinding force upon the unsuspecting and the innocent, not her golden son. Wayward children bend the checkered curve, releasing pent-up power, forcing change with blemished records where none is needed or desired. End poem.
Well, well, the wildlife cam caught just a glimpse, however brief, of Mother Nature's son one dark gray afternoon. What a way to take this prompt. Wow. He's seldom seen residing where you'd not expect. Where's that? His dripping head creates no ripples as it silently breaks through the surface. Some of these details are so cool. Mother Nature feels the stress, creating anger that's released with grinding force upon the unsuspecting and the innocent, not her golden son. Wow. I'm like, okay. And then he disappears as if he was not there. The puddle, just a dirty puddle by the rocky road of insignificance. But you feel his presence soon when time stands still. Or so it seems, and death's cool breath is felt upon a salty brow. This is a little darker than I am used to getting from Gerald, and I liked that he played with this. I love, for some reason, I'm tickled that this is her son, Mother Nature's son. And in fact, could you imagine driving down a dirt road and seeing that at the puddle? I would freak. And then he disappears. You must think you're crazy. I mean, there's an eerie hauntingness to this poem. Engraving morphs as if by magic, turning silver panegyrics into words of white surrender. Mocking cotton with its sheen. Oh my, I, 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 I always say that, you know, we never know where Daryl will take a prompt, and it's rarely, rarely, rarely ever where I think it might go. Well, this is absolutely, I don't know where I didn't really have a concept. I think for me, I looked at this and I thought, I want to see where Gerald will take this. And I more selfishly gave him this prompt to ease my own curiosity. And man, he just blew me away. I totally unexpected, but I think it's fantastic. Sweet, what you think? Sweet, are you muted?
I am. I'm sorry, it's taking care of Amadeus, so I cannot give him a proper comment.
No problem. Jay, would you comment for me?
Right after I press the button. Okay. Yeah, I like the way he went with this, kind of like a little bit of a mother is there, but she doesn't see. It's like a little mischievous child doing what he wants to do, but then he's, you know, he really isn't that harsh on things like his mom can be. And, you know, he smiles and soggy ground shakes and the oldest pitted monuments tip to one side. You know, he can do just as much damage as she does because he keeps on putting. And then it mentions Mother Nature feels distress, creating anger that's released with grinding fires upon unsuspecting and the innocent. Not her golden son. You know, it's like a little back and forth there. It's kind of unique, kind of clever. The personification of it is that. And if I had that picture, it'd be a little creepier, though. So I'm just saying. But he did a great job with it.
No, I bet it would. But then I wouldn't have been as shocked because, like, you write serial killer poetry sometimes, and I feel like, man, he just channeled that guy. So I do expect when darkness comes from you, but I was really, really surprised at, you know, this here and that golden child thing. I mean, wow. Speaking of, are you going to dabble in serial killers anymore or what?
Oh yeah, we're probably going to be doing a little show about that, turning it into maybe a little show.
Awesome.
Monthly show, so there's a possibility we could be doing a serial killer show or a true detective show or something to that effect.
Sounds fun, because you always, like I said, it's like you saddle them and you step in.
What are you trying to say, Deb?
I'm trying to say you guys get serial killers much too well, sir. That's what I'm trying to say.
There's no one under my bed, okay? There's no one under my bed.
Cool. No boxes, no closets, no chains to the radiators.
Not yet.
You really have not yet. Okay, so now, I'm going to have Cal recording read us out, so if everybody will just write their comments. But before I do that, I want to take a moment to thank everybody. And Hatters, I know that you would have been here if you could, and I feel horrible that you don't feel well, and I hope you feel better really, really fast. And I missed you. It's not the same without doing it with my big brother here. So just saying. I'll check on you tomorrow. And I want to say one last time, happy birthday yesterday, 70 years. Woohoo, Titus, Tony. And thank you to David and Kay and Steven and Wayne and Liquid Damage and Gress and Frank and JCA and AP and Kimberly and Crystal and Gress and my sweet for calling. And thank you to Titus and Cal and Jay and Mocha and Phil and Gerald and Frank for making amazing recordings. And thank you to Angel and Joe and Alf and Xylophonic Blue and Iris 3. You are all awesome. And one last reminder that Simply Joe, Xylophonic Blue, Iris 3, and Kimberly Baker's poems will be on Sweet Pea's show on Thursday. And I will let her tell you about her show before I push the last recording. My sweet?
Yes. Oh, good Lord. Open Poetry, Thursday night. Just come on by, bring what you got, and let's have a good time and just chit-chat about it.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. And one last shout out. Try to have a listen to that recording for the show on Christmas Eve at Jay's group. Gonzo did a amazing job. A must hear show indeed. Now, on that note, I appreciate you all. Again, this is the last Monday of the year, so I will see you on Monday next year. Don't forget to tune in to hang out with Gress tomorrow. It should be a really fun show. And please leave some love on Cal's poem. I'm about to push play. Love and respect, everyone. Here we go.
Pleated river red and parted sea, with gyrating twig tides on crystal shores, washing colored grapes of harvest. Raised glass smashed against salted reefs, the ceremony begins. Ring and chimes, billowing salted wind, bodice, bell dress, upon morning horizon in sanctuary. Circle of insanity caught like bees, circling hives in a lounge, with frozen pose, remembering the sleepy symphony beating on our eyes with an old story, how we wanted to dance among the midnight harvest of delicate fertility, sleeping in a crib under our cupboard as Coltrane serpent sex played love supreme, boats floating carelessly, quite wooden, no salt water under it, drunk with desire, and in need of some paint, piled age, driftwood. Nerve endings turned on as Christmas lights played like musical instruments, and toy soldiers beat drums, strings resonated through echoes, with the composer stepping into fire.
Awesome read, Cal. Thank you very much. Love and respect, everyone. Talk soon.
Good night.
Thank you, Jay. I'm so glad you had off this week. Night.